beneath the cleansing flood.
OPBC Online, a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota, and we are back live here on Wednesday with a few days off to rest my voice and give it a little bit of a break after preaching Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and in the assembly there on Sunday, of course, and then out on the street in at the Minnesota State Fair, outside of the Minnesota State Fair. What a war on Sunday! Maybe I can get Andrew to grab that footage off the camera for me, and I can run through some of the footage on Friday morning, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Time for a broadcast, a special time of review. Now, I seem to have this uncanny knack, or do you know how poop draws flies? You know how it does? You know how poop draws flies? Well, apparently, like Dookie draws flies, I draw Jezebels. I don't know what it is when I'm out there preaching, but I just seem to draw those Jezebels in. And yeah, boy, were they madder than a wet hornet. They were mad. They were angry. So anyway, they really, whoo, I mean to tell you. Wait, you gotta, man. So this lady, I'll tell you, I'll show you the video, Lord willing, Friday, but we'll see what happens. But this lady yelled across the street, "You don't even have a uterus." I was like, well, how perceptive of you, lady. Now we want to define the sexes and two genders. Right? The sexes and the two genders. Now we have two sexes, right? Now, a woman is, oh, I get it. So you're defining a woman as someone who has a real uterus. Or the capability of having a real uterus. Or had one. Right? So now you want to define it. Boy, was she mad. And then this nasty woman came by me and she said something really nasty. I don't remember what it was. And I said, oh, I know what she said. I think she said, there is no one. The reason why you're up here preaching like that is because there's no one that would have your baby. I said, ha! I have 8 of them. My wife and I have 8 children. Well, and another thing I said, I thank God I'm not going home to something like you. That went over like a lead balloon. Because then the sheriff lady across the street yelled over at me and said, shut up! And then I kindly got on me microphone. And I said, is that official? Are you telling me officially as a member of the sheriff's department to shut up? Are you trying to stifle my speech? Are you trying to get sued? Are you trying to violate my First Amendment rights? That went over good. And then the police came. St. Paul PD came because somebody called him on me. Us. But I was preaching. And I think I got finished and I walked down and then here come the PD. And they said, look, we don't want to have to, now we heard that you're singling people out. And we don't want you to get arrested for a hate crime. And I said, whoa. Well, I don't know if I said whoa, but I was like, wait a minute. There is no hate crime speech in Minnesota. We don't have a statute on the books for hate crimes, for speech. Preaching the Bible is not hate. It's not hate speech. I said, because if you're trying to chill my rights and tell me that I'm not allowed to say things, well, that's not going to go very good. You know, that's not, you're not allowed to do that. And she was like, whoa, whoa, I'm not saying that. Well, yeah, you did just say that. And they're like, we just don't want, I don't want to fill out a bunch of paperwork, she said. I said, oh, okay. I said, listen, we don't single anybody out. They single themselves out, and then we respond to them. Now, it may be sometimes better for us not to respond. I'll give them that. It may be better sometimes for us not to respond. And maybe we'll learn. But when people say some pretty vile, disgusting things, they need called out for it. When they blaspheme God, yeah, they need called out for it. And listen, friend, if we don't lift our voice up, we're not going to have a right to speak in this country. They will shut us down. If we don't push the limits of that, right? Then you know what's going to happen? They're going to take it away because it's not being exercised. Right? So, this is what it makes me think of.
Rumar, are you the head of your wife?
I like to think that we're equal.
Are you the head?
No. I'm an alpha.
Not if you think you and your wife are equal. Beta!
Oh, because I tell you why.
Beta! Rumar, are you the head of your wife?
I like to think that we're equal.
Are you the beta?
No. I'm an alpha.
Not if you think you and your wife are equal. Beta! Rumar, are you the head of your...
Oh, you, man, there was this black lady so mad at us there. She got up in our face. Started screaming us at about the abortion banner. I've never seen women so angry and not of someone challenging their right to murder their own babies. Like, I've never seen anybody. Right?
Did you know that Black Lives Matter was an organization that was founded by a bunch of fat black lesbians who hate God, who hate the family, order of the family, who hate the unborn child? And they admitted, at least one of them, that they're a Marxist group and they've been trained to do what they're doing. Did you know it was founded by some fat black lesbians?
Wow, so, okay, so first of all...
Did you know that?
What we're not going to do is insult folks, right? So,
well, they claim to be lesbians, and they're fat, and they're black. Well, I didn't do it.
Well, so.
But did you know that it was founded by them?
I personally know them, right? So we're going to stop that part.
And you knew that before they joined. What made you join knowing that? Because normally men don't follow women like that. What made you do it?
One more time.
Did you know that Black Lives Matter was an organization that was founded by a bunch of fat black lesbians who hate God, who hate the family, order of the family, who hate the unborn child? And they admitted, at least one of them, that they're a Marxist group and they've been trained to do what they're doing. Did you know it was founded by some fat black lesbians?
Wow. So, okay. So, first of all,
did you know that?
What we're not going to do is insult folks, right? So.
Well, they claim to be lesbians, and they're fat, and they're black.
Well,
I didn't do it.
Well,
but did you know that it was founded by them?
I personally know them, right? So we're going to stop that part.
And you knew that before they joined. What made you join knowing that? Because normally men don't follow women like that. What made you do it?
Normally men don't follow women like that. All right. So imagine me out in the middle of there with a bunch of guys. You're all white dudes. Where's your women? They're at home. They're at home with the children's. Where's all your women? And the white dudes walk up to me and go, and you're white. Yeah, that's white. I'm white. That's white. What's that got to do with anything? Where's your women? Oh, a bunch of white men. Oh, what's wrong with you? A bunch of white men trying to keep people from killing their babies. What's the matter with you? What's the matter with you standing up to a black woman and a black man and telling them, don't murder your babies? You must be racist because you don't want them to kill their little black babies. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Do you see how they're a bunch of witches? Wait, you're mad at me because I don't want you to kill your black baby, but I'm a racist because I want your baby to live? How's that work again? You guys are so full of hate because I don't want you to kill your baby? Yeah, you hate everybody. You're just a bunch of haters. What? Why? Because you hate homosexuals. Well, why do I hate homosexuals? Because you're telling them they're wrong. Oh. You see the logic in that? Do you see the logic in it? No, you don't, right? Because there isn't any. There's no logic in anything they say. None. It's not logical. You should have seen them when I told them where their founder came from. Maybe I'll save that. I got to do this broadcast. You know what I'm doing? I'm preaching Friday's broadcast to you. I got to stop. Because it gets me fired up. Right? I gotta stop doing that. I gotta get on with our Bible study here. Okay. We're gonna talk about putting on Christ or walking in the Spirit. Both of them are the same thing, by the way. Both of them are the exact same thing. Did you know that? Turn to Romans chapter 13. This is where I got the idea for this at. You ready to go? You guys ready? Or Are you still talking about Corn Pop's a bad dude, or are you ready to get down to the Bible here? What are you guys doing here, huh? What are you doing here, Carlos Montoya, Rodriguez, Espinoza? You ready, huh? Rodriguez, Espinoza. And don't, Carl's not that bald head dude with the cigarette either that you see. He looks like he stole his grandpa's sweatpants and jumped inside of him, and there's room for like him and Mary inside those sweatpants. That's who Carl is. Don't ever kid yourself. Okay. I want to dub that video. Joey Mack, I want to dub that video. Be like, because normally men don't wear sweatpants like that. normally men don't wear sweatpants. Oh, that's funny. Oh. But Friday, we'll talk about Joe's favorite dog, Blarney. Joe's got his Irish pup. But we'll talk about Joe on Friday. Joe's got a famous Irish pup. We'll have to save that for Friday. All right, everybody. I can tell my voice is still strained. Does it sound really bad? It's a little strained, I can tell. I gotta quit yelling. Like, you can't... Why do you think I stay away from the broadcast and everything? Because if I don't, I'll just be like, oh, I'll do a broadcast on Monday and I won't be able to talk on Tuesday. Like, I gotta quit doing that. All right, everybody, Romans chapter 13, verse number 14. Actually, let's start with verse number. You know, he's talking about the second table of the law here. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But, you know that, how many of you got to listen to that sermon I preached on Wednesday, last Wednesday? But God, the great contrast, but God. Well, this right here is showing you the transition between what he just said and what God wants you to do. Look, I've watched Trump videos so much that I'm doing the accordion. I gotta watch it, man. I'm doing the accordion like Trump. Gotta watch that, man. Should I steal the accordion from Trump? Should I just steal it? But anyway, so there's a contrast here. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh, to fulfill the lust thereof. So there's a hint at what it means to not walk in the flesh, but to walk in the spirit. And it's the opposite of walking in the flesh and the things of the flesh. So now let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. You're going to see that putting on Christ, walking in the Spirit, putting on the new man, all of those things are the same thing. It's kind of a different way that Paul explains it. But he's literally explaining the same things. Okay? He's teaching us the same thing. So now let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. You know, here's the thing. The reason I'm teaching this is people need practical teaching. You know, it's good to expose the wicked works of darkness and reprove them and teach people those things. That's all important, and I do that. But it's also good to get down into the scriptures and really look at what it means when God says certain things to us and see that the scriptures explain the scriptures. Okay? And we need scriptural exposition. We need it. We need the Bible explained to us in everyday terms. Applied to everyday things, I should say. We need it applied to us. And see, God's people need to be directed in the scriptures to teach them what it is God expects from them. People will grow when they're not confused about what God expects from them. The one thing that I'm learning, I'm shocked and amazed. And by the way, there's been up to 60 people in this broadcast. Would you thumbs up the video and share it on social media if you can? So we can get that out to as many people. I'm trying to build the Rumble platform up, sermon audio as well, and Rumble, and not using YouTube, praise God. Anyway, but that's why I'm doing this, is to teach you what God means by those things when he says it. So, it'll take us a few hours, but it's a great Bible study. It's great for us to learn and grow. It really is. So Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. So he's saying the same thing as putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's telling you to walk in the Spirit. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things they'll not inherit the kingdom of God. Then he goes on to say, but the fruit of the Spirit. Here's the contrast. Do you see it? He's contrasting how to walk in the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If you live in the Spirit, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Amen. If we live in the Spirit, if we are God's child, we not only live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Well, here's another clue. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. That's a good clue as far as how to walk in the Spirit and not the flesh. If you're walking in the flesh, you're desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So he's teaching us, he's showing us what we need to know. You remember in our study in Ephesians chapter 2, if you've been keeping track of those studies, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. He talks about the old man's walk, wherein in times past ye walked, past tense, he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's who you were before. So if we're to walk, if we walk according to this world, that's how lost people walk. We're supposed to walk according to the Spirit, not the one that works in the children of disobedience. So a good rule is if the world is practicing it and likes it, I probably shouldn't walk down that road. Because I've been redeemed from that world and brought out of it and delivered from that wicked world. So I'm to walk in the new man. I'm to put on the new man. Look at Ephesians 4:17. Says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Remember he said that in Galatians? He said, don't walk according to vain glory, envying one another. He says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. Paul is instructing the Gentiles. He is teaching them how to walk with God. The Gentile Christians, that is. They don't know how to walk with God. They've never been taught. They've never walked with God. So Paul is teaching them, don't walk as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. That's the Gentile walk. That's the walk of the world. He's saying you're not to walk that way. He says in verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ. That's not how you've learned. You have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Now he's going to tell you how to walk in the Spirit and how to put on Christ. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Well, how do we do that? Remember what Romans 12 told us? Let's go back there quickly. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So it's not a vain thought, it's a sober thought. Look what he says, for I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man that man the measure of faith. Go back to Ephesians 4. He tells us that we have to be renewed and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So you have to put off the old man and his conversation and be renewed. Well, how do I put on the new man? I have to renew my mind in the scriptures. My mind has to be constantly renewed in the scriptures. So I don't think it's like some old dead corpse, some old dead wicked sinner. Otherwise, I will quickly devolve into the old man and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And he adds, so it's not only being be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. It's not enough that you hear it. You have to put it on. You have to put on what you've learned. It's not enough that you take off the old man. You gotta renew your mind and actively put on the new man. Well, I don't feel like doing that all the time. Of course you don't, you wretch. Neither do I. It doesn't have anything to do with how you feel. But I should have warm fuzzies about it. I should have my warm fuzzies about it. Everything should be warm and fuzzy. I should just love it all the time and feel good. Good and warm and fuzzy and loving God and yeah, you should. But that doesn't mean you're gonna. You still have to walk in the Spirit. What does that mean? Well, here's what it don't say. This I say unto you, float around in the Spirit. Like the JW's jellyfish. I'm like a jellyfish. I touch him here and I touch him there. You're not like floating around in the water somewhere. You're not, this I say then, float around in the Spirit. I'm going to float around. It don't say float around, does it? It says walk. It says put on. Well, how come I don't want to do that old time then? What's the matter with me? You got a fallen sin nature with you, that's what. And the flesh wars against the spirit. But that doesn't change the fact that you have a duty to walk. It doesn't say float around in the spirit. It says walk. What do I mean by that? You're marching. You have marching orders. Get it? You have marching orders. So you don't get to be like, well, I'll just kind of float around here. Sit in the spirit. It doesn't say sit in the spirit. Doesn't say float around in the spirit. Doesn't say swim in it. Doesn't say doggy paddle in the spirit. It says walk in the spirit. It says put on. That is not passive. What are you trying to say there, preacher? I don't think I understand what you're trying to say to me there. What do you mean by that? I mean that it's assertive. It doesn't automatically happen. It's not going to automatically happen. You have to do it. If it automatically happened, God would not command you to do it. Right? If it was automatic, there'd be no command. For instance, he doesn't tell us be sealed with the Spirit. He says be filled with the Spirit. He doesn't tell us to save ourselves, because we can't. But he does tell us to walk in the Spirit. That you put off concerning. Look what he says. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Christ, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Put off the old man, renew your mind in the in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying. So here it is. Not only are you to put away the old man, put away lying. You're to speak every man truth with his neighbor. So it's not enough that you just don't lie. You got to speak every man truth with his neighbor. It's not enough that you be angry and sin, but you have to sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. So he's going to explain this, and I'm going to show you through the epistles, because Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. He was the one that revealed the mystery of this Christian life and walk, Jew and Gentile. The Gentiles had no idea what it meant to walk with God. They had to be taught. Baby Christians think. Even Christians that have been saved a long time can be babies. They think they know what it means. They think they know how to walk with God. They think they know. Look what he says here. So, lady, how's that apply to you? Well, I'm not in the world working for my boss, working for a boss. Right. This all applies to you in the home. Wherefore, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. You're to speak truth to your husband. You're not only not allowed to lie, you're not to be deceitful. And you're to speak truth to your husband. The Bible speaks of that righteous anger. Be ye angry and sin not. It's how you conduct yourself in the home. There's some things that might frustrate you righteously. You might have a righteous cause, but you have to handle it correctly. That's what walking in the Spirit is. And you got to be careful as a mom and a wife, as a wife and a mother, that you don't give place to the devil in your home by a bitter and angry spirit. Because sometimes you have to serve a husband that acts like a real stooge. You didn't say that, I did. Or that acts belligerent, or is not kind, or is not sensitive to certain things, or overlooks things that he shouldn't, and doesn't lead the way that he should all the time. And you have to love your husband. Otherwise, you give place to the devil in your home. Let him that stole steal no more. Oh. Well, that's easy. You put off the old man, you don't steal. Yeah. But look what you're supposed to do. To walk in the Spirit means, yeah, I don't steal, but what else do I do? But rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. You're not only not supposed to be a thief, you're supposed to labor and be able to work with your hands to be able to give to others. So maybe you were a thief before and dishonest. Well, now you're not dishonest and you're not a thief, but have you been giving, or are you covetous and proud and don't want to give to anybody that's in need? It's great that you don't steal anymore and you work, but are you giving? Or do you can all you get and get all you can? Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working. You see how it goes? See how walking in the Spirit goes above the law? Do you see that? The law of God says, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. Grace and walking in the Spirit says, oh, you gotta do the opposite of that. Not only do you not steal, but you don't have a covetous heart, and that you're giving and kind and loving. Let me tell you this. I've seen a lot of men out there that blast preachers for preaching on tithing and giving. And you may not agree that tithing is for the church. Maybe that's what you believe. Maybe you believe that was for the Old Testament Jews, and that's not for the church. Okay. But most of the men that I've seen that get really angry about that, what I've watched is they're covetous men. And they don't want to give to anybody. So they blast that preacher and say, oh, they're just after money. When actually, in all actuality, they're very covetous people. some of the men that I've seen complain about that so much, they end up rarely giving anything to the Lord, or rarely wanting to. I've watched it. I've seen. Believe me, you've been around a while. You watch some things. You see it. See how it works. Very common. Okay, you ready? It goes even further. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. We got to watch that corrupt, perverse talk. Evil. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Perverted speech. Okay? Putrid. Perverted. Lack of purity. Spoiled. Tainted. Unsound speech. Corrupted. Depraved speech. Like, debased speech. Kind of like, Jeff Durbin and those guys. Other booze and tattoos and other men, they're talking about sexual things, sexual innuendos. Right? About sexual innuendos and things like that. We have to be careful, man. I mean, we have to be careful when we jest and guessing which are not convenient. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But look, comma, but that which is good. So, not only are you not supposed to curse, talk perverted around others, use profanity. But it says even more, to walk in the Spirit means not only have I put off those things, but that which is good. My speech is that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Right? So my speech is not only supposed to be, it's not supposed to be corrupt, but it's also supposed to be edifying, that it may minister grace. That it tends to their edification. Right? And then he goes on, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Why? All those things that he told you not to do and to do, if they're not done properly, it grieves the Holy Spirit, and whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So you're grieving the Holy Ghost by not conducting yourself properly. Not dealing with things the proper way. Not speaking properly. It'll grieve the Spirit of God. And he goes on to say again. Gives you another one. Let all bitterness. So let's talk about that. For a wife in the home. A child in the home. Let all bitterness, let's stop there for a second. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. It's all malice. Well, we know what wrath is. What's clamor? Let's see. Noise, exclamation, made by a loud human voice, continued or repeated by multiple voices that often expresses complaint or urgent demand. Loud. To utter loud sounds. Repeatedly, to draw attention, to complain. That's clamor, right? Evil speaking. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger. So in the home, to walk in the spirit means that I let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, evil speaking be put away from me. With all malice. Malice, extreme enmity of heart. Malevolence. A disposition to injure others without cause, for mere personal gratification, from a spirit of revenge. You know what? A lady that worked for the bus company up there, she got belligerent. I asked her, why are you so angry? Up at the state fair, and she said, you know, she told me why that about homosexuality and all this stuff she was mad about. And she ended up running towards me and shouldered me really hard. Cussing me out. Saying all kinds of evil things. And honestly, in my flesh, I kind of wanted to have her arrested. I kind of did. I kind of wanted her arrested. But I didn't do it. I kind of wanted her to lose her job. But I didn't do it. I have it on video. I'll show you what she did on Friday. But I said no, and I walked away. We just said, Father, forgive her, for she knows not what she... Because in my flesh, sure. But in the spirit, no. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. But that's not all. You're letting all those things, you're putting off all those things. You're putting off all those things, right? But what else does God say to do? Not only are you to put off those things, and be ye kind one to another. Listen. In the home, husbands and wives must, Christian husbands and wives must speak kindly to each other. Must. Commanded by God, and be ye kind one to another. Not only in the church, but in the home. To speak kindly, to walk in the spirit. It's not only to let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another. Tender hearted. You're to be tender-hearted. one to another. That is so vitally important for children to see. It's so vitally important for them to see. If they don't see that kindness and love, they won't have it. Children should never see mom and dad yelling at each other. They should never hear mom and dad yelling. They may have some disagreements at times. They may be a little sharp at times. But they should never. They should never speak evil one to another. Listen to this song.
Victor over every foe, conquer every trial in this world below, overcome temptations that you reach, keep in touch with Jesus.
Lord, all you need.
amen and amen. Keep in touch with Jesus. He will keep you sweet. And that goes in the home, too, as well. So these apply to us out on the streets and everywhere else, but also applies, to us in the world. I mean, as we work and as men go out and have to deal with things all the time and, you know, having a good attitude about that, but also for ladies and moms in the home, you know, and keeping that. That's how they walk in the Spirit. That's how you and I walk in the Spirit. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Remember verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are to walk in good works. So how do I walk in the Spirit? How do I walk in the Spirit? How do I put on Christ? Well, we walk in good works. If you're going to walk in the Spirit, then you have to be walking in good works, which God created us to do. Good works are part of a sanctified life. Titus chapter 2. Turn there. Verse number 14. He's looking for that blessed hope in verse 13, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Zealous of good works. Titus 3. 14. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. You and I are to maintain good works that we be not unfruitful. We're not only shunning the old man and the old works that we used to do, the works of the flesh, now we're going to walk in the Spirit. See, good works are all over. They're the fruit of salvation. They are not the root of it. The root of salvation is Jesus Christ and His sacrifice, death, burial, and resurrection on Calvary. That's the root. That's the foundation of eternal life. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But the fruit of that is good works. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Right? How about 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 12? See, it's not rocket science how to walk in the Spirit or put on the new man. Or it's not difficult. God made it easy. You get into the Scriptures. Not easy to always do, but to know what to do, God did not make it hard. He didn't say walk in the Spirit, not explain to you how to do that. He shows us in the King James Bible how to do it. First Peter chapter 2, verse number 12. Actually, look at verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. So that's putting off the old man. We're abstaining from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, but it's not enough. That's not enough. You're not a nun in a convent. Maybe you wouldn't put off, they don't really do that either, do they? Hang on a second, man. I am freezing. I got to turn this air down. Hold on. You're not just like locked out of the world where, okay, I put off all this stuff. and I'm not doing it anymore. Great! But now look what he says. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. Sounds like the same thing Paul said. Yeah. It is the same thing Paul said. That whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. He talks about submission to authority and or unto governors or whatever the case may be. All right, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. So it's got to be right in God's eyes. You don't submit to it if it's not for the Lord's sake. Amen. Important. For so is the will of God that with well-doing you put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. So now he's telling you, you know, if you're working for somebody, you know, how you be subject to them. You do a good job at work. What don't you do? I don't go to work and start preaching to everybody, right? You don't go open up your Bible and start preaching and not do your job. It says here, not only to the good and gentle, but also the forward. See, this is walking in the Spirit. Is that I'm a good employee even if they're not good to me. I do my job even if they're not, if they don't do what they're supposed to do. For this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it when you be buffeted for your faults? You shall take it patiently. That's what you're supposed to do, right? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, that is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Right? We were threatened the other day, right? Man, they were going to beat us up. They were going to do all this stuff to us. What did we do? We didn't fight. We didn't fight them. We didn't turn them in. We didn't have them arrested. We didn't seek revenge. We didn't get them to lose their job. We walked in the Spirit and we were kind. See, you think kind looks like I lick their boots. That doesn't mean that's what kind is. Kind is me not taking advantage of them or taking advantage of the situation when I could have. Kind is me not having them arrested. Kind is me not getting them to lose their job. That's kind. It's not seeking vengeance on them. It's not hitting them or punching them or fighting them. Right? But he continues on to the home life, doesn't he? Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. He's still talking about putting off the old man and putting on the new man. That if any obey not the word, they may also, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and of wearing of gold and putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. So then he's going to tell the husbands how to walk in the Spirit too. Now this is Peter. I'm going to show you Paul says the same exact thing. Different words, but same exact concept. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also trusted in God, adoring themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Now he's going to talk about the husbands. Likewise. And he just said that. In like manner. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. This is how you walk in the Spirit, husband. Dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto a weaker vessel. As unto the weaker vessel. And as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Well, this is how I walk in the Spirit as a husband. I give honor unto the wife. I care for her. I meet her needs. I take care of her. As unto the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life. That word honor is the same thing as when it talks about caring for. The bishop is worthy of double honor. Honor widows that are widows indeed. All of those things are ways of honor. A husband is to honor his wife. He's to take care of her. As unto the weaker vessel. He doesn't care for her the right way, then his prayers are going to be hindered. So then, by the way, he's still talking about that walking in the Spirit. He's still talking about all that. What does he say here? Finally, be ye all of one mind and have compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Webster says, be polite and well-bred. Polite, civil, graceful. That's in your day-to-day operations and dealing with one another, that we're polite to one another, we're kind to one another. We have the same mind, we have compassion one of another. We love as brethren, we look at each other as brothers in Christ, so we don't think evil of each other. We're courteous to each other. Right? We don't render evil for evil or railing for railing. But counterwise blessing, knowing that ye are there hereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. This is your behavior. Between each other, right? Man, we can go on and on and on. Paul tells us to walk worthy, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Ephesians chapter 4. Go back there and we go to the first part of the chapter. The more you're renewed in your mind in the Scriptures, the more you're going to understand what it means to walk in the Spirit. That's why it's important to read chapters of the Bible. It's important to take things in context, what's given there, because God is telling us everything that we need. He's giving us what it means. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So Paul is talking to the church here, but this applies to your home as well. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace in all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Do you do that? You forbear one another? What does that mean, forbear? Withholding from action, exercising patience, long-suffering, ceasing or restraining from action. You put up with some things. That's what it means. It means you're putting up with some things. In the home, as a wife, as a husband, as a father, as a mother. You forbear some things. You suffer long with some things. Look what it says here. With all lowliness, freedom from pride, humility, humbleness of mind. You're humble. I've been slighted. Yep. So how are you going to respond to it? in meekness, in lowliness, with long suffering. Meekness is softness of temper, mildness, gentleness, forbearance under injuries. Do I forbear under injuries? Do I forbear under injuries? Softness of temper. I've been provoked. Someone is trying to provoke me. Someone is trying to injure me. Or they have injured me. They don't give me my just or due respect as a husband, as a wife, as a father, as a mother, even as a child. So walking in the Spirit means I walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness, meekness. Meekness is a grace which Jesus alone had, right? Full of. Moses was a man meek above all men of the earth. Humility. Without murmuring. Opposed to pride or arrogance. Like, well, I could exert myself in this situation, but I'm not going to. You know, there have been times in my ministry where there were opportunities that I could clear my name, or I could speak the truth about somebody that was lying about me, or I could out them and reveal their life and reveal what they've done and reveal all the, there's been times I could have done that. Or they railed on me and said very unkind and mean things to me, and I could have said something back to them. I could have made them look foolish and stupid. Or I could walk in humility and submission to the divine will. And I could with meekness forbear it. Why? Why would I do that? Wife, why would you do that? My husband has slighted me. He has not respected me like he should. He overlooks things that I've done. Right? Why? Right here. It's walking in the Spirit. Look what it says. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring. Let's look at that word. That word means making an effort, striving. What are you doing? You're making an effort to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. That word endeavoring means to make an effort. That's why. Your goal is to keep the peace. You're not trying to destroy anything. You're not trying to destroy your relationships. You're not trying to destroy the relationship between the husband and wife. Between the father and the children, the father and mother. So what do? You're trying to keep peace in the home. Yeah, but I was sliding. Yeah. Are you going to walk in the Spirit? With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering? See, the opportunity to exercise meekness and long-suffering and forbearing is not when everybody does everything that you like. Right? It's not when you're not slighted. It's not when everybody recognizes the good that you've done. It's not when you're not lied about. It's not when you're not overlooked as a husband or a wife or a mother. It's not when you're appreciated. No. To walk in the Spirit means I exercise these things when I am slighted. when I am taken advantage of, when I am not treated kindly. It's because I'm endeavoring to keep unity of the spirit and the bond of peace. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering. Those things are with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering. It's because there's an end to this. There's a goal that I have in mind, right? Remember, I'm marching, I'm walking. What am I doing? I'm walking in the Spirit. Well, I'm a stranger and a pilgrim here, so I'm walking to Zion. And I'm serving the Lord with all humility and meekness, with long suffering, because I'm walking, I'm going to heaven one day. And my goal is to endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Yeah, but I have my rights, and I have this, and I have that. Yeah, you do. You also have an opportunity to deny your flesh, take up your cross, and follow Christ. You have an opportunity to walk in humility. You have an opportunity to walk with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's what you have the opportunity to do. So you have to determine whether, am I going to take that opportunity? Am I going to take that opportunity? Or am I going to not be kind-hearted? So walking in the Spirit means I walk in lowliness, freedom from pride and humility, humbleness of mind. I'm long-suffering, bearing injuries or provocations for a long time. Patient, not easily provoked. Look what it says. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. In love. Which brings us to the next thing. It means that I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm walking in love. Let's move forward to Ephesians 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Now he's going to contrast it again. What is he going to contrast it with? All those works of the flesh. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. That's you. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. So it's not even you put off all those things, but are you giving thanks? Are you giving thanks? Is thankfulness in your heart, or is complaining and murmuring in your heart? Well, I don't fornicate anymore. I don't do unclean things anymore. I'm not covetous anymore. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient. But is my speech filled with thanks? Am I thankful? Or do I complain about everything everyone does? or if I'm being slighted or wrong, do I have to bring it up all the time? Do I have to bring it up all the time? Right? Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. He's talking about whoremongers, nor unclean persons, nor covetous man, as an idolater, hath any inheritance of the kingdom of Christ and of God. We're to walk in love. By the way, if you're walking in fornication, don't tell me you love God. If you're walking in uncleanness, don't tell me you love God. If you're walking in covetousness, don't tell me that you love God. Because that's a contrast to walking in love. So next time you're out on the street and we're out there preaching, well, you guys aren't on the street, a lot of you, but next time we're out there on the street, what we see, they say, oh, well, God is love. God is love. God is love. Yeah, we know he is. But what are you? What are you? Well, I love God. I love God. I remember that Erykah Badu song. What? You don't love God? What's wrong with you? What? You don't love God? What's wrong with you? I love God. I love God. What's wrong with you? Oh, man. If Aaron's listening to that anywhere, he's going to laugh right now. I know he is. Me and Aaron used to sit in his apartment while we were doing the old broadcast that I used to do many years ago. We used to laugh our heads off about that song. But look at the contrast. But fornication and all uncleanness, or that's the contrast of walking in love. That's the contrast. He further illustrates walking in the Spirit is not to live in sin. You don't tell lost people to stop sinning, but you sure do tell saved people to stop it. Amen. Stop it. He tells us to walk in the light. Look at verse 8. Let no man deceive you with vain words. And he says, be ye not therefore partakers with them. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk in the light as he is in the light. We're going to get to that in a second. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Stop. Okay? Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Yep, that's putting off the old man. But now you put on the new man. How's that? But rather reprove them. That's walking in the Spirit. For it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly. How do I walk in the Spirit? I walk circumspectly. Cautiously. With a watchful eye. with attention to guard against surprise or danger. Prudently. I walk prudently or circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise. How do I do that? How do I walk in the Spirit? I redeem the time because the days are evil. I redeem the time. I make the most of my time. I ransom the time. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. But be filled with the Spirit. Okay? Filled with the Spirit is the same thing as walking in the Spirit. It's the same as putting on Christ. It's the same as putting on the new man. They're all the same thing. And the instructions, or like Olivia used to say when she was a little girl, the constructions. I don't think I have the constructions. She used to say that when she was a little girl. Now she's 12. Still a little girl to me, but she used to say that. I need the constructions. Be not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. This is walking in the Spirit. This is being filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Wait, you mean it's not like, it doesn't like happen through like osmosis. Like I sit in a room and I just go, and then I'm like super spiritual and I get a cape and I can fly around like Superman. No, you have to actually work on it. You don't get to sit in a room and say, hey, I'm saved. Now I can just sit here and I'm going to be filled with the Spirit. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to do all the things I'm supposed to do. Stop it. It's a big lie. And it's just an excuse to sit around and be lazy and not work on your spiritual life. And it's frustrating to watch people whine and cry and moan about their life, but do nothing about it. As a child of God, it's ridiculous. Everything has been given to us to do what we need to do. It's been shown us to do what we need to do. It's right there in the scriptures. But the problem is that they think it's some kind of super secret spiritual thing that just happens to pop on somebody's head one day. Like I'm walking around. Hey, all of a sudden I'm just filled with the Spirit. I'm walking around. I'm a Pentecostal. And I'm going to walk and go, and I'm going to say a bunch of stupid stuff and I'm going to walk around like a Fruit Loop. No, guess what? The people that walk with God and live for God, they do it on purpose. And they do it every day. The people that grow and can walk with God and live for God and serve God and get through trials, they put on the Lord Jesus Christ. They put on the new man. They walk in the Spirit. They walk in love. They walk in the truth. They walk circumspectly. They redeem the time because the days are evil. They speak to themselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in their hearts to the Lord. They do it on purpose. It doesn't just happen for some people and happen for others. Well, some people it just happens. Some Christians it just happens for, and some others it doesn't. No, it's because some Christians are doing it, and others are sitting around picking their nose. Whining and crying and moaning about stuff, and not getting up and doing what they're supposed to do. That's the difference. That's the difference. It isn't some secret spiritual thing that either you got it or you don't. Everybody has the same, every Christian, born again believer, has the same access to the Holy Ghost of God as the next born again believer does. It's up to you what you do with him. And what you submit you to the Spirit of God in. It is up to you in that sense. It's not up to you to be saved. That's a work of the Holy Ghost. That's a work on Calvary. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Salvation is of the Lord. But sanctification and walking in the Spirit is up to you. If it wasn't, he wouldn't have commanded you to do it. Okay. Now I'm going to calm down for a minute. Breathe. Amen. I get frustrated when I see God's people acting like they're hopeless. Ridiculous. The directions are there, you're just not listening to them. Look what he says. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now you're going to hear a similar message. Giving thanks. Hey, the last time you felt real down and out, discouraged, depressed, did you thank God? Well, I don't feel like thanking God. What does that have to do with it? Well, I don't feel very thankful. I don't feel very thankful. Well, that's great. Sometimes I feel like I have a gas ball in my stomach like that big. But what does that have to do with anything? It's a command. Giving thanks is not about you having a warm, fuzzy feeling. It's about obedience. And it's about time you just obey God and quit questioning God and just obey Him. Well, what if my motives aren't right? What if this ain't right? What if the sun's not lined up with the moon and the stars? And what if monkeys might fly out my armpit if I do it? Who cares? Just do it. Just do it. Like people gotta, I gotta judge this for judging this and judge this and judging this and judge. I already know what that game's like. I went through depression for 3 years straight. But you know what God made me do? Nope, you keep going. Nope, you obey me. I feel like a turd that was fried on a sidewalk, God. Yep, and you better obey me. That's why you gotta be renewed in your mind. That's why I lived in that book for 3 years and didn't budge from it by the grace of God. Because if I would have budged from it, if I would have budged from that book, I would have went insane. Now you might think I'm kidding you. You might think I'm exaggerating. And I will look you in my God, get with my God-given eyeballs, look you right in your face and tell you I'm not exaggerating one bit. I'm being dead serious. Serious as a heart attack. If I'd have left that book and quit living in that book, I'd have lost my mind. Look what he says here. Giving thanks always for all things. giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look what he says here. Remember, he's talking about being filled with the Spirit. You know, this sounds a lot like walking in the Spirit. This sounds a lot like putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, putting off the old man and putting on the new man. Yeah. Because it's the same exact thing. It's exactly the same thing. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. What is that? Walking in the Spirit. And you know what God did with that? Let me tell you something. I'm going back to what I was talking about before, but you know what God did with that? God put that on my heart to follow that book more so than ever, that King James Bible. And it solidified it that all the hosts of hell, all the critical text people, all the liars and the you ain't going to separate me from that book. And you will never convince me it's not inspired. By God's grace, you will never convince me that my King James Bible is not inspired. You will never convince me that of a million years. In a million years. Ever. Ever. By the grace of God, all it did was just lock me in. Look what he says here. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, so he's telling you as a wife, well, how am I filled with the Spirit? Let's go back up to, everybody likes to read that verse, don't they? Then they like to single that verse out. Oh, look at that. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Woo, I'm filled with the Spirit. Well, if you're a woman and you get up and try to preach like a man, you ain't filled with the Spirit, you're a liar. If you're not submissive to your own husband and you don't love your own husband, you're not filled with the Spirit. If you're not giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, if you can't get along with God-fearing people that love you, you're not walking in the Spirit. You're not filled with the Spirit. I didn't say you weren't saved. I said you're not walking in the Spirit. You're not filled with the Spirit. He says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in everything. So he's explaining to you as a wife how you manifest being filled with the Spirit. How does it show that I'm filled with the Spirit and that I love God? By submitting to your own husband in the fear of the Lord. Well, how do I show as a husband that I'm filled with the Spirit? I love my wife. That's how. See it? It's right there. Read it. It's not just some verse thrown up in the air. And the rest of the chapter is irrelevant. Remember, the whole chapter is talking about walking in the Spirit. It's talking about walking in love. Walking in the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. See it? You can't separate it out from the rest of the Bible and be like, I'm such a godly woman. I'm so filled with the Spirit. Well, your husband can tell me if you really are. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. I am running out of time. I got more. I didn't even finish this. I did not finish this yet. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So how am I filled with the Spirit? How does it show that I'm filled with the Spirit? I love my wife as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Hint, hint. Do I give myself for my wife? Right? I mean, I have a whole nother outline. No, I got to stop eventually, man. I got to stop speaking. Remember, I got to preach tonight. I still got to preach for another hour, and my voice, I just done yelled it out good. I could finish it on, let's see, let me look at my other outline. That's wrong. A lot of that is really similar. I think we'll finish it up here. We'll finish it up. A lot of it's real similar. I had two different outlines here. So, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That he might sanctify and cleanse it. I'll just keep going until I'm finished. I'm going to finish it. Husbands, love your wives. Then he says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife, he that loveth his wife loveth himself. So, see what he says here? How do I know if I'm walking in the Spirit, if I'm filled with the Spirit? I love my wife as my own body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Listen, if I'm loving my wife, I'm going to nourish, if I'm walking in the Spirit, nourish, to feed and cause to grow, supplying, to support, to maintain by feeding, to supply the means of support and increase, to cherish, to comfort, to promote growth, nourishing, like you nourish children, right? You give them nourishment. I preached a sermon one time called the Malnutrition Christian. And I made somebody change it to the Malnourished Christian. They changed my title because they said, that's not a real word. I don't care. I'll use it if I want to. The Malnutrition Christian. That's what I called it. It was a good one back in the day, man. That's an old one. That's from the first year. It's called the Malnutrition Christian. I just made those words up. That's fine. Anyway, So he says here, nourisheth and cherisheth it. What's it mean to cherish? To treat with tenderness and affection. To give warmth, ease of comfort. To hold as dear. To embrace with affection. To foster, to encourage, to cherish the principal virtue. To treat in a manner to encourage growth by protection and attendance. So it's to hold as dear. To be affectionate. To be tender. To be affectionate. To be loving and affectionate. That's what it means to nourish and cherish. Even as the Lord does the church. That's why a man leaves his father and his mother and it shall be joined unto his wife and they two shall be one flesh. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. So me, I'm going to take care of myself. I make sure I wake up. I make sure I eat food. I make sure that I put clothes on. I make sure that I have a place to live and all those other things. So I'm going to nourish and cherish my wife. I don't put her out. I don't make her life harder. Like I had one guy tell me. He said, oh, I put my wife through a lot of adversity to teach her. Man, on purpose. Yeah, that's what he did on purpose. He made her life harder on purpose. Wonderful. That's great. What a great testimony that is. He didn't love his wife and he wasn't filled with the Spirit. I don't care what kind of Christian he thought he was. He's the same guy looked at me and said, I thought we were going to go bust some heads together, preacher. I'm like, no, I don't bust people's heads. I preach the gospel. For this cause. So it says here, but look at what it says. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And the wife, see that she reverence her husband. Let's look at that word. Fear mingled with respect and esteem, veneration. The godly fear and veneration. An act of respect. To regard with reverence. To regard with fear mingled with respect and affection. Reverence your husband. Women, if you are filled with the Spirit, then you have a godly fear and love and respect with affection towards your husband. You're to love your wife, a man to show that he's walking in the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, putting on the new man. He loves his wife even as himself. And the wife sees that she reverences her husband. Do you reverence and have a godly respect for your husband as a wife? Good question, isn't it? A godly respect and love for a husband. He's not done yet, though. Because he tells the children as well and the fathers. He goes, he first starts with singly, yea, all of you be subject one to another, right? And clothed with humility, talks about that. another verse, another section of the scripture, same thing. Submit yourselves one to another. It goes on to say, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is how children show whether they are filled with the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, putting on the new man. Honor thy father and thy mother, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. Then he tells fathers how to prove as a father if they're walking in the Spirit. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Don't, if you're walking in the Spirit, then you're not going to provoke your children to wrath. Well, there's a number of ways you can do that. We don't have time to go into that now. Probably cover that with the children series that I'm doing. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Remember that nurture, that word nurture? Same thing. Admonition is a gentle reproof, counseling against a fault, instructions in duties, caution, direction. That's what an admonition is. You're to admonish your children. You're to nurture them. To nourish them up, to educate them, instruct them, nurture them for their growth, and admonish them. So you're to be kind to them as you instruct them. To kindly instruct them and to teach them and to nourish them. And then if you're an employee, he shows you, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart, of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. So he says, if you're an employee, this is how you walk in the Spirit as an employee. You're a good employee. You do your job. Not because they're good people, but because God is good. And as pleasing Christ, as servants of Christ. And masters are supposed to be good to their servants. Those employers. Knowing that whatsoever good, it says, and you masters do the same things unto them. Forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him. So you're to do all these things. And as being filled with the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, putting on the new man, put on the whole armor of God, he says in the next verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. How? Obey all those other things that He's commanded from Ephesians 4 all the way through. Obey them so you can put on the whole armor of God by the power of God. So you can stand against the devil. These are all the instructions of what it means to walk in the Spirit, to put on the new man, to put on Christ. He says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. That's the renewing part of your mind. You renew your mind in the Scriptures, put on the mind of Christ, then put on Christ in your actions. That's to walk in the Spirit. That's to put on the new man. That's to put off the old man in his conversation. As a husband, as a wife, as an employee, as an employer, as a father, as a mother, as a brother and sister in Christ. All the instructions are there. All right, everybody. Getting tired. Let me give you a song here, and if you want to say hi or make a few comments, I'll give you an opportunity.
go over there. So number one, if you were to ask me, Pastor Cooley, go over there. So number one, if you were to ask me, Pastor Cooley, why do you want to go to Europe?
All right, let's see.